let's sing it from our hearts again.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary.
Raise our hands, make that commitment to Him tonight.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy.
Desire tonight. Amen. We've got just a very few prayer requests tonight, and we'll ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. Just a prayer request for the Loris family for traveling safety this weekend. Also, please continue to pray for Rachel Johnson. She's still recovering in John City Med Center from complications of surgery. And then finally, please remember Brother Bruce Hackett. He was admitted to Queen Elizabeth Hospital in Grand Prairie, Saskatchewan. He has pneumonia and very weak, serious conditions. So let's just stand. Brother Terry would come, and let's continue, of course, to remember Brother Junior and his family. Can you pray for them?
So good to be back in church again tonight. I was just thinking a little word might encourage you. It was such a privilege to be in church. A privilege. I've had the privilege to travel a lot in my lifetime. I've been 17 countries. I've been in the military, and while I've preached, I've been almost 40 states in the United States. I've been in most all the national parks in the United States. But the greatest place I would rather be is be right here in church. This is my desire. This is my passion, to go to church. I love it. And this is, if we're going to be His sanctuary, then we must be still in the dressing room. And I want God to get, He's dressing us with the Word. So one more time, we're getting the privilege to get dressed with the Word tonight to be His sanctuary. What a privilege. What a privilege to be back in the house of the Lord one more time. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, I just said that maybe as a little encouragement to somebody. I got to thinking about that. Just being able to travel and see the different things and fly over the Alps and things I've got to see, that's all fine. But my love and my passion is to be in church. I want to see you. I want to look at your face. I want to fall at your feet one day and cast our crowns upon you. I want to say thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for giving me a life out of the jailhouse and out of the prison cells and out of the drug houses and out of all the ill-famed places. Thank you for keeping me from all that stuff with sin and all the distribution of what we see in this world. We're thankful, Lord, that you keep us from it. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the safety net that we have, Lord, the security, Lord, to be part of the bride of Christ. Lord, this is not a burden to me. This is a wonderful freedom to be able to worship you, to come to church, to love you, to be separated from the world. I thank you so much for it. I pray tonight, Lord, as you would receive our thanksgiving, we ask first that you would, we welcome you. We ask that you would have the preeminence in the service. May every heart, Lord, tonight, truly, if there's somebody here tonight that's never received the Holy Ghost, we know that the token is a requirement for the rapture, may they realize we cannot go without that token. Speak to their hearts. If there's somebody here who's never been saved, never accepted Jesus, Lord, let this be the night that they would open their heart and receive the Spirit of Christ. Lord, as you anoint Brother Donnie to speak, and may he bring forth spiritual food in due season, it would just encourage our hearts. Lord, I know this is a house of correction. Where we need correction, give that to us, Lord. Think it not strange when these things come our way, because this is a house of correction. We're still in the dressing room, but I believe we're just about finished polishing down, as the prophet God said in the masterpiece. We're getting our final polishing down. Help us, dear Lord. I pray for our brother. We continue to lift him up in prayer. We know your divine will is being done. We know that to be true. All the prayers has been offered up in behalf of Brother Junior. Your divine will is being done. I pray for the one up in Canada. You know the need there and the other requests. Both of those, God, your will be done. Somebody's having faith. Somebody will believe. We'll probably hear a testimony of one or both of these requests, that they were healed, touched, delivered, because we know somebody's believing. I pray, God, that you would just give us a wonderful time of fellowship around the Word tonight. And truly, like David said one time, I was happy when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sure, we tired, we had a day, we've worked different things, but Lord, it's just to be set aside an evening time to be with you. How we thank you. Bless your children abundantly, Lord, we ask. Come among us tonight in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry. You can be seated tonight. Higher ground. Well, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Pressing as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven. Till heaven I pass. Would like to come and take up the offering this evening. You know, I so enjoyed the last Wednesday night Brother Donnie preached and talked about the lives of the prophets and empathy. I couldn't help but have some empathy for Abraham when he was making his way back home. And I couldn't help but think about that familiar feeling when you've done something that, poor Abraham's case, people would read about it for generations and generations to come. But in our case, we've felt the same way, and we've all done things that we're sure glad ain't in the book. But we're also so thankful that that guilt doesn't have to stay with us. So thankful that that terrible, awful, guilty feeling that everybody here's had at one point or the other, I'm so glad that he died for us don't have to take that. Let's sing this song Brother Louis just taught us. I just thought about him singing this song on his way back where it was supposed to be. My sleep is gone, my heart is full of sorrow. I can't believe how much I've let you down. I dread the pain that waits for me tomorrow. When the sun reveals my broken dreams scattered on the ground, please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through, and all I have is you. I'm at your mercy. God of earth and glory would take the time to care for one like me. But I've read in the Bible that old story, how he died for my forgiveness while he was dying on the tree. Forgive me. How many of you needed his grace? Oh, to make it through. The only chance that I have is you. That's your mercy. Lord, I serve you. Until my dying day, I help others find a way. That second verse.
Can't believe the God of earth and glory, he would take the time to care for one like me. Oh, but I read in the Bible that old story, how he pled for my while he was hanging on the tree.
Please forgive me.
Oh, forgive me, Lord.
I need your grace.
me. Let's sing that chorus one more time.
Please forgive me. I need your grace to make it through. All I have is you. I'm at your mercy.
Cochran's family song. I believe they wrote it.
I read of how they beat him and of how they plucked his face. Then I asked my Lord, how could you stand to suffer such disgrace? 'Cause you're the very source of life, and yet you chose to die. How could you let them do it? Then I heard his sweet reply. For the joy set before me, I endured the cross. Then I asked my Lord, what sort of joy could justify the cost? Oh Lord, what kind of happiness could be worth the blood you shed? And then my Savior smiled at me and said, that joy was you, and you were worth every stripe. Long before I made the world, I had you on my mind, and you are everything I'd hoped for, and I think it's time you knew. The joy set before me, that joy was you. I know you feel unworthy, my love's hard to comprehend. And so I'll try to tell you in a way you'll understand. 'Cause when a man's in love, he would give his life if he thought that he could save his children or his wife. And if I had to choose, I'd do it all again for the love of God. Far exceeds the love of man. The joy I set before me was a spotless bride. Do you know how much I long to have you by my side? That joy was you, and you were worth every stripe. Long before I made the world, I had you on my mind, and you are everything I'd hoped for, and I think it's time you knew. The joy set before me, that joy was you. You are everything I'd hoped for, and I think it's time you knew. The joy set before me, that joy was you. joy was you.
Appreciate that song tonight. If you could stand with me this evening, let's just sing I'm Amazed as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all
if you couldn't take them all away, I'm not sure we'd be any better off. If he just took half of them away, still wouldn't we be a mess? I'm glad he can take the whole thing away. Make us new creatures in Christ. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. We want to pick up on the life of Abraham again tonight. Last time we found him in kind of a bad way. But you know, Christian has those times. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. I'm going to speak to you on the lives of the prophets. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had. And Lot with him into the south. And Abram is very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeyings from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. And we all know from week before last Wednesday sermon, he'd been better off to stayed at the beginning. Where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar. Now listen carefully at this verse. Which he had made there at the first. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. So however long that this situation took place in Egypt, we have no scripture that says he called on the name of the Lord the whole time he was there. Now, unlike you, you pack your altar with you. You're at Walmart, you can pray. At Lowe's, you can pray. It's not so in this time frame. When you left your altar, you left your God. Praise God. And this man is the father of the faithful. Well, he's your daddy. You ought to be proud of him. Let's bow our heads together. Father God, I pray your great abundant mercy would be so opened to us tonight. May we catch a glimpse of this man, maybe in somewhat a little bit different way than we've looked at him before. I pray, dear God, that you would take these examples that we will look at tonight. May we be enlightened by them ourselves. That it would not just be stories which we've heard over and over again, or historical people who've lived in the past, but to know that they are written for our examples. Anoint me tonight, Father, and anoint the people, I pray. May your presence come in the form of the word. Your presence is made known in so many ways, through miracles, through healing, through awesome feelings, and so many different ways. But we're petitioning you tonight that your presence would be revealed through your word. May we be a better people when we leave here tonight, Father. Grant it, dear God, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. What a wonderful Father we have.
Amen.
Merciful, loving, kind, forgiving, yet just and true. I wrote down a few things and I'd like you to look at them with me. Because Abraham, after coming out of the land of Egypt, is going to have a great, great spiritual time for a while in God. In chapter 13, verse 11, he and Lot separate. Now, this is a very important time for Abram because the advancement of the revelation is based upon this hinging or this turning point in separation. We know that God can only lead his people so far until a separating point has been met. Then once that separating point, either with world, families, or whatever it is, then once that is achieved, then it releases the Spirit of God to be able to make something further known to his elect. And we know that in this chapter with Abram, it certainly took place. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, then after three verses after that Lot leaves, God makes more clear to Abram the covenant by which he's going to enter into Abram and his seed. Chapter 14, verse 13, God gives him victory over the kings and he delivers Lot. Now watch, after coming out of the land of Egypt, where he's lied to Pharaoh, he has deceived Pharaoh, coaxed his wife into lying to Pharaoh, took wages of sin, and yet does not leave them behind, picks up this maiden girl, which is going to become one of the biggest mistakes he will ever make in his entire life, and yet God does not turn him away, God does not cast him aside, but it shows us the power of repentance to a child of God. That if a child of God will make things right with God, that it releases the forgiveness of God to such a degree that God can actually start blessing that child again and even excel beyond their position of what it was before if they will allow God to do so. So now watch, as God is progressing Abram, and it's not just with material blessings. That's the way many folks want to count the blessing of God. To me, that's very, very immature and very shallow and carnal to look that God gives you more houses, more money, this or that or the other. If God is not giving you revelation and things like that, I really wonder about your blessing. Now watch this, in chapter 14, verse 13, God gives him victory over the kings, and he delivered Lot, of course, Cato, Laomer, and all those kings, a tremendous victory that God gave to him. Now chapter 14, verse 18, watch the unveiling now of God, that Melchizedek now comes down and makes himself known. Abram, remember, took his stand for El Elyon. El Elyon He was absolutely refused to receive any of the wages of Sodom. He would not take even a shoelace from them, so that it could be said that they had prospered Abram. So here he stands, and after he makes his stand for God, then five verses thereafter, Melchizedek comes and makes himself known to Abram. Now remember, this is after he's been a deceiver, after he's been a liar, after he's not been true, after he's not been faithful. But you understand, all of those things did not change God's absolute view of who this man was. There were only temporary setbacks. Even though Abraham lied, Abraham from his soul was not a liar. Abraham had deceived Pharaoh, but Abraham from his soul was not a deceiver. Listen to me, church. You might make mistakes. You fall short of the glory of God. But it does not mean that you are that from your soul. And when you do wrong, you will pay. But if you're really born of the Spirit of God, you will correct your wrongs. You will repent. You will go on and on and on and on for years. People that can do that and not repent, there's something wrong with their walk with God. Now watch as the revelation keeps unfolding, and you think, my, it's just accumulating higher and higher and higher, the things that God is revealing to the man. Now watch, in chapter 15, verse 9, God makes a blood covenant with him. Now watch how the revelation is continuously unfolding to Abram as God is making it known. Chapter 14, verse 18, Melchizedek comes. Chapter 15, verse 9, God makes a blood covenant with Abram. Amen. Chapter 16, verse 1. Oh my. Why did everybody go silent? Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, where did this woman come from? Where did they pick her up? In Egypt. So this was picked up in a term of backsliding. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now what? So Sarai, Abram's wife, bearing no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Right. Now watch, Brother Random, let's read a couple of things here that he said about this. He prophesied here and said the walls of Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the Gentile dispensation would be finished. The Mohammedans have took it over. We realize, and I want you to look at the crisis tonight. And I want you to look at the crisis tonight. I want you to look at the date of this sermon, 4/17/1957. And he says, I want you to look at the crisis tonight, how Ishmael and Isaac are still at each other's neck, right at Jerusalem, where it's predicted they would be. Now here we are, July 2014, Ishmael and Isaac are still at Jerusalem, at one another's necks again. Notice again in Hebrews chapter 6, Sarah thought that maybe she could have Hannah, or Hagar rather, her maid, to give birth to a baby through Abraham, and she would take it and that would become Ishmael, which was a thorn in the flesh from then until now. Still a thorn in the flesh For out of, notice where it comes, out of there come the Arabs, and they've always been that way. And the church said, now at any time that you disbelieve the naked word of God and adopt some other way, it'll be a thorn in your flesh from there on. You just take what God said. If He said it, that's what He means. Oh, blessed be His name. Take His word. No matter what tries to bypass, well, it doesn't mean that. It just means what it says when God makes a promise. Now, watch this. So here we have the chosen prophet of God, Abraham. You'll agree with me that he was. He was God's covenant man now. God had now made a blood covenant with Abraham. God has entered into a covenant with him like no other human being on the face of the earth. Melchizedek has now come down and made himself known to Abraham. God has now revealed himself by his name, El Elyon, to Abraham. No one since the fall of man has now known God in this way that this man has. Yet does it exempt this man from making further poor judgments and human mistakes? It does not. That is, exempt this man from making the judgment and mistakes that will bring into a view millions and millions of people. Now I want you to look at how broad that this thing really is. Now those who want to disqualify Brother Branham because he was a human being and because he would tell the same story and tell it three different ways as if you don't do the same thing, then I guarantee you one thing, Abraham will not make it to page 2 in your book. Because this man, if you can show me any mistake that Brother Branham made that has affected, multiplied millions of people, then I might listen to your plea. Because of Abraham's mistake, Ishmael and Isaac are fighting this very night. How come God didn't disqualify him from being a prophet of God? How come God didn't throw him out and trash him and say, how in the world do you think I'll ever be able to trust you again and make you a prophet of God? Do you realize what you've done, Abram? Well, praise the Lord. I absolutely love it when the Lord gives me stuff like this, because it just hems that devil up in a corner. I like to make him like a little child where he said, go over a devil and stand me the nose in a corner, don't move. I want you to think of how broad this is. There have been thousands times thousands times thousands times thousands times thousands times thousands of people who have been affected in a negative way by the mistake of this man. Watch this. Seed is not heir with a shuck. Sarah thinking that God would not be able to keep all his promise true. Now notice where we're going to go with this. How does this actually come about? Because Sarah thinks that God is not able to keep all of his word. She told Abraham to take Hagar, her maid, to marry her, which polygamy was legal in those days. Polygamy was legal in those days. And to bring the child, that's the way God had it planned. Now, this is Sarah's thinking, that she was to have the child only through Hagar, but we find out that wasn't so. So it was a lie. So Sarah believes a lie of the devil. And Abraham accepts that lie of the devil and acts on that lie. Well, when are we going to start up a website on Abraham and show all this? Come on, some of you bunch of hypocrites. I challenge you to put him up. Well, glory. Now watch this again. He says, here the seed starts in the promise. And Abraham here slightly doubted. Now, not just Sarah, but Abraham actually accepts the doubt. Abraham accepts the doubt. And And whatever Ishmael is produced, it is a product of Sarah and Abraham's unbelief. Notice again, he says, now Ishmael could not be heir with Isaac because one was slightly doubted, just slightly doubted. It was a child. It was still the seed of Abraham, but not God's perfect way for it, Ishmael. If Ishmael and Isaac could not be heir together because the original plan of God was substituted into a permissive plan of God, the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, all of the Arabs, all of that is a permissive will of God. Is it blessed? Absolutely. Are they blessed by God beyond a shadow of a doubt? The children of Israel in tract of land got 150th percentile. Compared to what the Arabs got. They've got all, kinds of things. The Romans tried to destroy the Arabs. The Greeks tried to destroy the Arabs. All kinds of people have tried to destroy the Arabs down through time, and they'll never be able to do it because God said, I will bless them. And I will multiply them. Well, praise the Lord. So Sheikah Hala Bobby and Arama Mommy and whoever more of them Sheikis are, they're going to have blessings, and I don't care what we try to do, they're going to be blessed of God. But there's a great difference in being blessed by God and being called by God to a covenant. They are blessed. They got all, but give us blood. Hallelujah. I'd rather have the blood of Jesus than money. Now watch how Brother Rand parallels this. Now the original plan of God was substituted into a permissive plan of God, a permissive way that God did bless. Neither can the spiritual church today be heir with the denominational. Has God blessed the denominations? Yes, sir, and still doing it. Does God bless them? Absolutely. Does God heal some of them and answer some of their prayers? Absolutely. But we're not heirs together in the rapture. Right. Now watch. God bless him like he did Ishmael, but the spiritual will not be heir with the others. That's right. There will be a coming out of the church denomination, church so-called, church natural, will come a bride of Christ, the elected. Now you look and you think, why would God have waited anyway for so long? Why would God have put this promise on delay? At age 85, Abraham was still able to father a child, Ishmael. Abraham is 85 years old. So this shows us one of the reasons why that God had to wait in order to perform a miracle till Abraham's strength was completely gone. A lot of times God, my friends, it's not us waiting on God. It's God waiting on us till we get depleted in our ego, depleted in our strength, depleted in what we think. And as long as we're still fathering Ishmaels, God will endure and endure and endure. And we're saying to God, what's the matter with you? And God said, it ain't me, it's you. You're still got strength to do this, and you're arrogant, and you've got pride, and you've got this and other. Die out, children, and I'll be able to produce the miracle baby. Ishmael was not a miracle baby, but as long as Abraham had strength to produce children, God had to delay and delay and delay. So a miracle baby can't come as long as you got the ability to still father a child. Now watch. Let's look at Sarai now. Verse 2. Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me. Now watch her attitude. There's a hint of disappointment and misunderstanding, and God has actually restrained me. Sounds like the first woman that listened to the first lie. So I praise thee. I praise thee, go in unto my maid. Now you say, friends, God's delays don't mean that God has denied. Brother Bam said, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes God says wait a while. But it's during the delay time, from the time that we answer some, or we're asking, we're looking at a promise, and God waits, and God may be waiting on you, He may be waiting on current events, He may be waiting on several things in order to make it come to pass. But during that time is when Satan knows we're so impatient. And God was waiting till Abraham's strength was already gone and Sarah was already depleted. And they're thinking, God, what's your problem? How come you can't do this? And God was doing it every bit according to His own time schedule. But it's during that time that Satan will begin to whisper, you know what? God's not being fair to you. You prayed this and you've lived this way and you've paid your tithes. There ain't no telling how much you've given offerings over the years. There ain't no telling what all you went through for the kingdom of God. And here you ask God for a little favor and God won't do it. Now you better be careful when you're going to listen to that. Now this is where Sarah is at. Oh my. So God's delays, it doesn't mean that His promise is not true. It is still true. So if He delays, He has a reason. But notice what she said. Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Oh my. Restrain me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. Now watch, this coming from Sarah is going to be much more believable than if it had come from Hagar. Now what if Hagar would have come up to Abram and said this, I'm a young woman. No doubt your problem is your wife. I probably am much more fertile than she is. Why don't you just come in to me and you marry me, kick her out of the tent, get rid of her, and you and I'll give you this son that you desire by God. He'd have probably kicked her out of the tent. He'd have kicked her out of the tent. It would have never been a temptation to Abraham if this would have been approached by Hagar. What if Pharaoh would have said this? What if one of the servants would have said this? Satan knew exactly who to use. You better believe my brother and sister, he knows who to use on you and who to use on me. The source of temptation has much to do with the strength of that temptation. Now Sarah, probably, I'm sure she doesn't realize she is now in the same state that Eve was in the beginning. She is now coming to her husband as Eve did to hers in the beginning. God worked miraculously to get them out of the land of Egypt with her hide still intact. And Hagar coming out. Now Hagar's become now part of the family. She meets this demand in every way. She's young. She's fertile, no doubt. Look, Abraham. And society. This was totally acceptable with society. But as we know, God don't always go along with society. It'd be like some of the things today that are becoming more acceptable to society, and we accept them because society does. Most of society is going to hell. Now, if you wish to go with them, go on. But myself, I don't want to belong to that. Now, she met all the requirements physical. She met all the requirements, and Sarah wasn't going out to somewhere else. And, maybe this is God's way, and this is the way God's going to do it. After all, Abraham, you're not going over to some strange tribe somewhere. It's not like you're going over to some stranger you don't know. She's a part of our family now. And I'm not asking you to have an affair with her. I'm not asking that. What I'm going to do is, actually, I'm going to give her to you. Now, what, Sarah? I'm going to give her to you, and it'll be perfectly legal, and it was legal in those days. It was accepted by society. It was accepted by Sarah. How much more would Abraham want? Accepted by God might help. If they had never went to Egypt, this temptation would have never happened. Now, you know, that's something when the force of temptation comes. But then there will always be an approval of temptation that will be sought for. An approval by you, of course, if you're the one being tempted. And since the temptation is coming through Sarah, she gives him her approval right up front. Wow. So don't raise your hands, but brothers. What would you say if your wife come to you and you're 50, 60, 70, 80 years old? And your wife comes up to you after church and says, you know, there's a really pretty young girl started coming to church. Why don't you marry her and we'll all just live together in the same house? And you look at her and say, are you kidding me? Are you feeling okay? Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea. Call 911, please. Not for her sake, but for some of you men, because some of y'all will probably do it. Oh, my wife said it's okay. My wife didn't mind. I wouldn't be committing adultery against her, Brother Donnie, because she told me I could do it. Just because she's nuts don't mean you have to follow her nutty example. So the approval for the temptation, society approves, and Sarah approves. I have no problem with this, Abram. Really? You don't have a problem with this young woman? No, I'm telling you, take her. As a matter of fact, I will bring her to your bed. Now, it was legal custom, according to the day, according to the Hurrian text, which dates back to the time of Abram, that a barren wife could do this by law. And if the husband agreed, even if the husband took the woman and married her, he didn't have to marry her because she'd just be a concubine, he could actually speak verbally and say, this son is my heir. And no other son that was born thereafter would ever be able to override that. Thank God he kept Abram from saying that. So Sarah's suggestion was not against the law. It was not against the law. It was not against society. And it was not against her thinking. So now here's the thinking of the bride that has eroded into polygamy. Be careful what you want from God. Some of you all want revival so bad. Some of the message folks have wanted revival so bad. They have accepted spiritual prostitutes from Pentecost and from all kinds of other places because they wanted, she wanted a son so bad. She's willing to break the word. You understand? She's willing to break the word to get it. Abraham is not an adulterer. Abraham is not wanting to be a fornicator, Brother Darrell. He's wanting a son. Don't you see, friend, how Satan moves on? What's our greatest desire? What's your greatest desire as a Christian? To be full of the Holy Ghost. My, to have the joy and the peace of God. And if Satan can't knock you off, he'll try to send a Hagar your way in order for you to father a son that'll bring many, many, many wars to the furtherance of your spiritual seed. Oh, my. Sarah's approval. Abraham knew it. Absolutely be essential. And she just gives it right up front. I have no problem with this, Abraham. No, go ahead. You've got to be kidding me. Say, no, absolutely do it. Lay, I want this son. I want this son. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I praise thee. Went unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. So Abraham fasts and he prays and he goes back to the altar and he waits on God. And he said, now you devil you, I rebuke you in the name of Elohim. And you mean to tell me after these great visitations I've just read to you, this man is fixing to follow this through? Well, shouldn't we start a website on him? Shouldn't we start making Abraham YouTube videos? This is direct disobedience to God's promise. He's listening to his wife. Brother Downey never even prayed. Never even sought God. What do we find? We find Abraham, the head of the new race that God is going to deal with as far as the Jews, doing the same thing Adam did. Listening to his wife. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. He never prayed. He never sought God. He just does it. Now watch. Melchizedek has come. El Elyon has been made known to him. The blood covenant. Now here Abraham's face teeters back toward the flesh. Thank God for the New Testament. Amen. Which doesn't mention this. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Glory to God. Now watch. So here we find the prophet of God agreeing with this temptation. He hears it. He reasons with it. And now he agrees. This is not going to be a little mistake that he's going to make, and it'll set him and Sarah back, and it'll cause him a few problems down in the life. Millions times millions times millions of people are going to be affected by this mistake. For out of this union will come a man whose name will be Muhammad. And he will be a founder of a new religion called Islam. Oh, you didn't know that? Oh, yeah. He comes right from the lineage of Abraham. Praise the Lord. Oh, what should we do to Abraham tonight? Come on, let's have a rally. Should we tar and feather him? Huh? Should we burn him? Should we all leave him and say, I'll never read that man's name in the Bible again. I'll never say that man was a prophet of God. This man is responsible for millions dying. And you mean to tell me you still believe him a prophet? What kind of weird people are you all? What kind of strange people are you all that I can prove to you by the Bible that this man made all kinds of horrible mistakes and you still believe he was a prophet of God? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know why I believe he was? Because way on down, we'll get to it a few chapters later, when God spoke to Abimelech and God said, he is my prophet. So Egypt did not disqualify him. Marrying Hagar did not disqualify him. He was a prophet before the world began. So his faith wavers and he deviates from the word. The way the scripture says it here in the Hebrew words that are used, Abraham really didn't delay. The word here is in the Hebrew, Abraham quickly went along. Wow, good idea. Quick, turn down the sheets. Can you imagine? This mistake is going to affect millions of people. Still affecting them to this day. Come on, don't sit there and look at me funny. While we're preaching here tonight, it's still going on in Gaza. You've seen it on the internet. You've read it in your newspapers or whatever more. Look at how the media is playing Israel. They're playing Israel as the mean, hateful aggressor. And they're showing the pictures of the Palestinian kids. And we absolutely hate any casualties, no matter how, you know, whether they're young or old or whatever more. Don't you see what they're doing to Israel naturally? They're doing to the bride spiritually. They will project a thing about us, which is only a one-sided deal. Do they want the truth? They're not interested in truth. They want politics. They're projecting Israel as mean and hateful. And Israel, what are they doing? They're only protecting their God-given rights. Against who? The other side of Abraham. He offers no argument. No protest. No time for prayer. Now remember, he's back where the altar is. He just accepts it as the will of God. Let me tell you something, friend. Let us not just talk about Abraham tonight, but let each one of us, I don't care how long you've been saved, how much you know God, what kind of experiences you've had. There's none of us in this building tonight that had the experiences that this man had up to this time in his life. None of us. Don't let any of us say, well, I'm beyond temptation. I'm beyond. When you think that, you're already in a mess of trouble. I don't care how long you've been saved, how long you've been preaching, how long you've been a deacon or trustee, that makes no difference at all. Whenever we get to that spot, Satan knows we are very, very vulnerable. I believe if there was ever a time that we'd be on our guard, it is now like never before. Because deceiving spirits are everywhere, enticing spirits everywhere. This was an enticing spirit. And it seemed to be anointing them to fulfill the promise of the day. It come under the auspices, Brother Darrell, of giving them their promise. Lord Jesus. But what was God's view? God never accepted Hagar as Abraham's wife. As a matter of fact, the angel of the Lord in Genesis chapter 16 verse 8 called her Sarah's maid. After Abraham had already took her, already had the child, and Ishmael is now up in years and she's leaving. And later we find out that the Bible calls her the bondwoman and her son. God never acknowledged her as part of the bride. Hallelujah! God never acknowledged her as part of the bride. Will he bless them? Yes. Will he multiply their seed? Yes. But never one time did God ever call her Abraham's wife or Abraham's bride. Will God bless the denominations? Yes, he will. Will God give them songs? Yes. Will God even move among them? He will. But show me where you can call her a whore and his wife at the same time. Oh my. So God rejected the whole thing between them. God never acknowledged it and said, all right, okay, oh fine, fine, fine. I'll just work my will. I'll choose this way and forget Isaac. I'll go this way. No, sir. Oh, how sad. They were unwilling to wait on the promise of God to be fulfilled. So they acted on their own. And watch verse 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid. Wonder why Moses keeps saying the Egyptian. So we got a man of one God, a man who believes one God, and he's fixing to take a woman that is polytheistic. That in this time of the pharaohs, they were shepherd kings, as they called them, until sometime after that, whenever they changed before the Ramesses and the departure of the Exodus, and they worshiped their polytheistic, in that they worshiped the sun, the moon, the rivers. They have all kinds of gods, and this is her upbringing. And you're going to marry. This is going to be your wife. This is going to be the mother of your child. Don't sit there and look at me and act as if though Abraham didn't do wrong. He did horribly wrong. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, to the Egyptian after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So here he's been in the message now for 10 years. He's heard sermon after sermon after sermon, as we'd liken it today, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife. The faith of Sarah is not yet fully born. The faith of Abraham is stronger than Sarah's. Now teeters and weakens on the promise. Sarah, the originator of this plan, is going to be the first one to suffer the ill consequences. Sure enough, as it would be, Abraham goes into Hagar, she conceives. When he went into Hagar, she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, the bride became despised in the eyes of the church. So the church, which had much bigger buildings and much more multiplication, began to despise Sarah. Because Sarah, it looked like to them, was still barren. Still waiting for, you know, a dynamics or whatever you want to call it. Still waiting on the promise of God. You know, she's not looking for Benny Hinn or some of the other hens. They're looking for the eagle call. Praise the Lord. I'm not part of the 700 club. I'm one of the 7,000 that Elijah talked about. Amen. I'm one of the 7,000 club. I don't need the PPL club or no other club. But you know what? They let all poor little things. They just keep on saying what was said back in the 50s. I reckon we can, since it was prophetic. What I read to you in 57, and here it is tonight, happening this very, very night. Why wouldn't anybody want to hang on to that kind of a message? So they look at us and make fun, and they put us in all kinds of distress. But we're still bride. Now, so Sarah becomes despised. Now Hagar looks at herself and she says, I'm a child. So she looks down on Sarah and says, I'm better than you. You've been his wife all these years. What have you given him? What have you given him? Heartaches, problems, constantly repenting, constantly making things right. But look at me. I'm a Christian under the cross. I can do anything I want to do. I'm a glorious Christian. You're deceived. A real person under the influence of the cross lives a godly life, not a whore or a Jezebel or a drunk. Come on. Now, Abram, like Adam, is caught in the middle. The weak middle. How many still loves Abram? What about the rest of you? Y'all fixing to blot his name out of the book, ain't you? Now watch verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. Woman, you're the one who concocted this idea. No, Abraham, she didn't. The devil did. Now you're Sarah gets all mad and bent out of shape and gets a big wrinkle up in her nose or whatever the wind say. My goodness, she is. And then she says, I've done wrong. Okay, I've done wrong. But now she said, my wrong is on you. Imagine peace left the tent of Abraham for several days. I want to ask you to raise your hands, but I wonder if peace has left some of y'all's tents every now and then. Well, we won't go into that, but anyway. Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I've given my maid into thy bosom. Now watch her. She's the one who comes up with this, and boy, she's letting him have it. And when she saw she had conceived, I was despising her eyes. The Lord judge between me and you, big boy. I'm kind of glad my name ain't Abraham. So the disagreements that me and Carol's had down through time wasn't wrote in the Bible. How would you like for yours and Sister Horns or yours and Sister Donna, or yours and Sister Linda's been wrote in the Bible? I mean, this is private stuff, man. What are we talking about here? You can't even argue if you're this guy. You can't even have a difference of opinion with your wife. They're writing it down. And Moses wasn't even there. God said, I want you to write down that argument. Oh, my goodness. How'd I get on that? So you're Abram. His weak face puts him in the weak middle. Hagar conceived. She's now elevated. Because you know, to the custom of the women in the East, to be with child, it elevates her. This is the reason why Adam was going to take Eve. If he sowed his seed in her, God could not kill her.
So when she received Abraham's seed, it elevated her only in her own eyes, not in the eyes of God. The denominations have received the seed of the Bible. It elevated them in their own eyes. Now they think they're the queen of heaven. Come on, the Catholic Church received the Word of God and they feel like they're the queen of heaven, but God don't quite feel the same way about it. So now when she does, she gets all upset. Now here you've got Abraham and his two wives. Well, it deserves a man that gets polygamy anyway. I never understood a man that wanted more than three or four wives in the first place. What in the world am I doing with this? Oh my. So here she has an attitude towards Sarah. Then Sarah comes in the house stomping stuff, throwing goat's milk around and goat cheese and coming, what in the world's the matter with you? Oh, she got an attitude against me. And I'll tell you one thing, I think it's your fault. After all, you are the prophet of the age. Why didn't you stop me? How come you didn't stop it yourself, prophet? The Lord will judge between me and you. Now, let's go back in time, centuries and centuries and centuries ago. You're not sitting here in 2014. You're actually in Abraham's camp. You're walking by the tent with a pail of water. Minding your own business. You're in the message. You're following Abraham, right? Your name is Dirham and Hornacheddick and you know, whatever more. You're just going along. You're just happy to be there. God didn't promise these things to you, but you're just happy to be there. You're just going along. You've been out the creek, get a bucket of water, and here you come back and you hear the prophet of God and his wife. I mean, they're just hammered. And you notice things was a little tight last service time. You notice there's a little something funny going on. It just didn't seem like you had the liberty. You notice Hagar cutting her eyes over Sam, Sarah cutting her eyes back over the back of both them, and Abraham cutting eyes, looking at all of them and trying to eye them down. And you're just there to have church. And then you find out, of course, you know, there's gossipers in every day, always have been, always will be, I suppose, till the millennium. Thank God the law will be eradicated to them. But anyway, there's gossipers in the message in that day like there are today. And you imagine it went through the camp. They got hundreds of people now following Abraham. And it goes through the camp. There's a big fallout going on up in the tent. The main tent. It wasn't revival in the tent either. You're going to tell on me. Quit laughing. The Lord judges between me and you. You can't believe what I just heard. She told him the Lord would judge between her. Go back, go back. So would you have left the message? What?
Think about it.
Your prophet has stumbled in faith. He's done something totally wrong. I'm not going to leave Abraham after all these years of fast forwarding it, seeing all the horrible events that have happened. I sure wouldn't have left him there. Because it's in me to follow the prophet of my age. I'm part of the word. So you imagine Abraham is going over to Hagar's tent, trying to counsel her. Now listen, Hagar, come on, come on, come on. You can't do this. Sarai is my wife. I don't care what you say, I'm giving you a son. I'm giving you a son. That Egyptian temper. Then he goes over to Sarah. Now, Sarah, honey, nobody will ever take your place.
You're always first in my heart and first in my affections and everything. Why, darling, my goodness, I just absolutely, the Lord will judge between me and you. So Hagar says, I ain't taking this, I'm out of here. She leaves. Now what's amazing is, friends, the very first time the angel of God appears to a human being. The angel of God, God's angel, personal angel. He appears to Hagar. The first time in the Bible that a baby is named before it's born is Ishmael. Chapter 16, verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. Woman don't have a seed. But she received this seed from Abraham, that becomes her seed. And the angel identifies it as hers. That's why the denominations have a seed. It's not a predestinated seed, though. Praise the Lord. It's a seed of the word. So God gives them that word. This is ours. This is ours. Don't rob them of that. It is theirs. As this was Hagar's seed. The angel said it was. Notice this angel said, I will multiply thy seed and see that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child. And shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Ishmael. Which means God will hear. Notice, Ishmael, E-L, God. Because the Lord has heard thy affliction. Now this is an Egyptian. This is a woman that has rebelled against the bride. And caused problems in the message. Now, angel of God, tell us what kind of man this is going to be. He will be a wild man. Look at the word wild, to run away. His mother just ran away. He's got part of her genes. The Egyptian comes out in him every time. Don't you understand why folks are running away from this word? It's their Egyptian mother. Woo! Lord have mercy. Oh, goodness. It's that old denominational mother of theirs that never was fully, truly born of the word. And that old mother's coming out. I'm leaving. I'm running away. Go on, Ishmael. To run away, to run wild, hence the wild ass, from its fleetness and its untamable nature, what is said of the wild ass in Job 39:5-8, affords the very best description that can be given of the Ishmaelites, the Bedouins and wandering Arabs, the descendants of Ishmael. Let's read it, shall we? Job 39:5. Who has sent out the wild ass free? Or who has loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwellings? Now listen, this is what the Hebrew word says, that he will be a wild man. It's actually a wild donkey. He will be a wild donkey of a man. And this is the way the Bible describes that wild donkey. Whose house I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwellings. The barren land. He scorneth the multitude of the city. So he don't want large cities. Glory. Neither regardeth he the crying of the driver. The reins of the mountains is his pasture. And he searcheth after every green thing. Listen to this now. The country from which these free descendants of Ishmael may have properly said to possess stretches from Aleppo to the Arabian Sea, from Egypt to the Persian Gulf, a tract of land not less than 1,800 miles in length and 900 in breadth. He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. True today. after being said 4,000 years ago. If people just take this right here, if they don't believe the Bible is true, they should be able to take these passages right here and prove to them that the Word of God is so. Oh my. The Bedouins are the outlaws. Now remember, all of the Arabs are not Ishmaelites. Arab actually comes from a word which means a traveling people. So remember, Keturah also, another wife of Abraham, was going to have some more sons, Medan and Tidon, all them different sons that she had. And they also will come and merge together and become what the next portion of this prophecy identifies as brethren. Now watch, I like the way John Gill says this, so you won't think it's just Donnie Reagan, or you just won't think it's the message of the hour, but these things have been said for centuries by real true Bible, people that knew the Bible, signifying that he would be a quarrelsome temper and warlike disposition. Continually engaged in fighting with his neighbors, the Arabs. Now this is, remember, written in the 1700s. Always have been and still are given to plunder, harassing their neighbors by continual excursion and robberies and pillaging passengers of all nations, which they think they have a right to do. Well, bless their little hearts. Their father Ishmael being turned out into the plains and deserts, which were given him as his patrimony, and they suppose it a permission from God to take whatever he could get. Now, they're going to be every man's hand. His hand will be against every man, and every man will be against him. And another attribute is, he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. Now, the word dwell is, he will abide in tents. He will dwell in the presence of his brethren. Oh, glory. Watch this. The sons of Abram by Keturah, the Midianites and others, and the Edomites that sprung from Esau, the son of his brother Isaac, and the Israelites, the descendants of Jacob, another son, and his kinsmen, the Moabites and Ammonites, upon all he and his posterity bordered. It may be rendered, he shall tabernacle or dwell in tents. This is what he's going to do now. He's going to be around his brethren. Now let me read you just a little bit of history. Diodorus, one of the great heathen historians, says of them, the Arabs, that neither the Assyrians nor the kings of the Medes and Persians, nor yet of the Macedonians were able to subdue them. Nay, though they led many and great forces against them, yet they could not accomplish their attempts. An undoubted history informs us of such remarkable interpositions of providence to preserve them. To preserve them? To preserve them? When they have been upon the brink of ruin, that when we consider them, we cannot help being struck with the admiration of the Holy Scriptures, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, of things that are not yet done. When Alexander the Great overturned the Persian Empire and conquered a great part of Asia, the neighboring princes sent their ambassadors to make their submissions. The Arabs, the descendants of Ishmael, alone disdained to acknowledge the conqueror and scorned to send any embassy or take any notice of him. This contempt so provoked him that he meditated an expedition against them, and humanly speaking, considering his vast army, the great assistance he would have received from all the neighboring princes, his being in want of nothing which contributed to his success, we can scarcely suppose he would have entirely destroyed them. But while he was meditating on these things, God took him away by death. Why, God said, I will bless them. Y'all do know how many princes come from this, don't you? 12. 12. How many tribes are the children of Israel? 12. 12. 12. Blessings, blessings. Land, land. Promises, promises. Glory. Friends, God says in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That ain't just bride promise. That's all flesh promise. When the Romans subdued the rest of the east, Arabia alone stood out. When Asilas, one of the generals, had subdued some of the Arabs, he was recalled and Pompey sent in his room. This latter most successful general gained some victories and penetrated into the country, but the word of God was against him. You imagine old Pompey, I mean that dude, he had conquered like crazy. And here you think, man, I'll go over and I'll cut a bunch of them Sheikh Arabat and Ararat and all the rest of them rats. I'll get rid of them dudes. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And boy, he come right up to the middle of Arabia. That was a wall. You know what that wall was? The word of God. Because God said, no, Abraham, you done this and it's going to keep right on going right on up to the end time. It ain't my perfect will, but I'll take your mistake. I'll take this error and I'll make it go right in and it'll come right up to the end. So Rome, you ain't going to destroy her. Greeks, you ain't going to destroy her. I wonder if Netanyahu wished they could have. Elias Gelus, a Roman general in the reign of Augustus, penetrated far into the country. But of a sudden, a strange distemper made terrible havoc in his army. And after 2 years spending the enterprise, he was glad to escape with a small remainder of his forces. But at the times they were attacked by the Emperors Trajan and Severus, the intercessions of Providence, to save them were even still more remarkable. So every man's hand will be against him, and he'll be against every man. And they'll dwell among their brethren. Watch, Genesis chapter 37, verse 28, when Joseph was sold by his brothers. Then there passed the Midianites by a Midianite merchantman. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. So here are men who are of the same Father. And they are part of the persecution. Praise be to God. Verse 13 of Genesis chapter 16. And she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seest me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lehoroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old, 86, when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Can I go just a few more minutes? Ishmael is recognized as an important prophet and patriarch of Islam. Muslims believe that Ishmael was the firstborn of Abraham, born to him from his second wife, Hagar. Ishmael is recognized by the Muslims, whichever you want to call them, as the ancestor of several prominent Arabian tribes, being the forefather of Muhammad. Muslims also believe that Muhammad was the descendant of Ishmael that would establish a great nation as promised by God in the Old Testament. Ishmael is mentioned over 10 times in the Quran, often alongside other patriarchs and prophets of ancient times. The Quran says, and make mention in the scripture of Ishmael, he was a keeper of his promise. He was a messenger, a prophet. He joined upon his people worship and almsgiving and was most acceptable in the sight of his Lord. And other chapters of the Quran, however, which date from the Medina period, Ishmael is mentioned closer with his father Abraham. Ishmael stands alongside Abraham in their attempt to set up the Kaaba in Mecca as a place of monotheistic pilgrimage. And Abraham thanks God for granting him Ishmael and Isaac in his old age. So they take Abraham's mistake, and out of that they will form a new religion. You folks are as quiet as sinking Kirk tonight. Now, first of all, Abraham never went to Mecca. Kabat, Mecca. The Quran contains somewhat contradictory instructions for Muslims regarding Jews. At one point, it instructs Muslims to treat Jews as brothers. And another point commands Muslims to attack Jews who refuse to convert to Islam. Now, I realize if this had been 10 years ago, y'all would have been screaming amen. But now, because of political pressure, y'all just sitting there quiet as a mouse in a church house. The Quran also introduces a conflict to which the son of Abraham was truly the son of promise. The Hebrew scripture says it was Isaac. The Quran says it was Ishmael. The Quran teaches that it was Ishmael whom Abraham almost sacrificed to the Lord, not Isaac, in contradiction to Genesis chapter 22. This debate over who the son of promise contributes to the hostility today. Can't you see why? So you cannot really be a Muslim and be able to really acknowledge the Old Testament and accept that as the infallible word of God. Because if you do, it makes Isaac the heir and Ishmael the one that is banned. So what did the devil do? He gave them their own prophet and gave them their own book, which renamed the heir of the promise. Well, glory! Praise the Lord. And whose mistake was this? What's the matter? Can't y'all say it? To the descendants of Ishmael. Oh, let me close. God gave huge territory. About 1,200,000 square miles. Much of which includes vast oil fields, which the Western industrialized world is highly dependent upon. You don't know it, but you're putting more marble and more, you know, whatever more on Sheikh Alibaba's house when you're pulling up to Shell and BP and Exxon. It's not like they really need it or anything, but you're doing it anyhow. You know why? Because they went there for thousands of years and didn't know what was beneath them. But one day they found it out. Were some of the largest oil reserves in the world under their sons' dry desert land. Come on, God said, I'll bless them. I'll bless them and I'll make this and that and the other. Man, we're sure paying at the gas pump for them blessings, ain't we? Now watch. All around the land of Israel, while to the descendants of Isaac, God gave the relatively tiny land of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, approximately. Now wait a minute. Somebody's got to help me with this. These people get 1.2 million and the chosen get 8,000 square miles. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? Compare acre to acre. No comparison. Compare oil well to oil well. No comparison. But compare covenant to no covenant. No comparison. Approximately 8,000 square miles. Only 1/150th of the area given to the descendants of Ishmael. So Abraham's mistake, and they get the larger portion. They get all this money, all this wealth. Me and Carol just heard it day before yesterday. The UN Security Council just passed a resolution. All of the nations that were there, 16 of them didn't vote. France, Germany, England, Some of the great democracies of the world did not vote. It was against the children of Israel, the Israelites, and this war that they're engaged in and defending themselves. Every nation that voted, voted against them, except for one. This nation. All the rest of the whole UN Council voted against them and condemned them for what they were doing. Except for us. How much longer will that last? Can't last much longer. Because even this nation must turn against them. And you can see it politically. Can't you see it? Politically, it's turning against the bride. We see political pressure. How it can be turned against us? They don't need laws. All they need is politics. Politically, they'll turn against Israel. It's already there. One of our senators, we heard him saying it the other day. And he was talking about how that they're accusing Israel of this and accusing Israel of that. He said he had a video to where the Palestinians were endorsing and encouraging their people to go to the area where Israel is going to bomb and bare their chest, he said, and become a martyr. And yet that's the ones that CNN and all the rest of them takes their pictures and they don't realize they're being coaxed into it. Why? Satan controls politics. And then all the media, all the left, come on now, don't get quiet on me. And all the rest of us, oh, a bunch of devils, bunch of Israelites, they're mean, they're contrary. Come on, they do us the same way. We stand up for our land. Our land is our message. Our land is the way we live and the way we marry and the way we conduct ourselves. That's our land and we're willing to stand at the border and say, no sir, you're not crossing this border here. If you do, we're going to blast you with the word of God. Sure, we don't believe in killing. We don't believe in murder. None of that. But if the enemy tries to cross our border, we will pull out the sword of the word of God and say, get out of here, devil. That's exactly what they're doing. They've got a right to fight for their land. They've got a right to fight for their borders. You've got a right to fight for yours. As a pastor, I've got a right to fight for our inheritance. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Now let me say this. Are we against Arabs? By no means. Are we against Jews? No. We hate anyone? No. If you do, you need to get up at this altar. I'm just reading to you scripture and history. Can they be saved? Absolutely right. Right? Sure they can. But look at it spiritually. Same thing's going on with us. Satan trying to take our inheritance and our rights and, you know, well, we don't say this no more and, oh, we'll get in trouble if we do and we don't say that and we just do what everybody wants to do. I kind of like the attitude of the Israelis though. Netanyahu stood up there and told them the other day, he said, we might as well get ready for the long haul. We're going to work these guys over. Come on now. Y'all with me? Y'all want to hide in one of the tunnels somewhere? Praise the Lord. We want to stand on the front line or y'all want to go way back over to Beersheba. Come on, children. I need somebody to stand with me on the Gaza line. Hallelujah! God don't just want everybody over at Haifa. God don't just want everybody back in the cave where Elijah was. It's front line time. It's front line time. Let's stand for what we believe. The mistake of this prophet of God is still going. It's still going. Do some research in the scripture if you'd like. Look in the scripture mentions Dedan. Look in the scripture mentions the names of these. The wilderness, the wind blowing through the wilderness. Prophetically telling what they would be. Will they be destroyed? Absolutely not. They must survive. They'll play a key part in the end time. But so do we. We may be small in comparison. Don't that make you feel good? I mean, they've got 1.2 million, they got 8,000 acres. And why do they want this 8,000? It's because Israel wants it. Why do they want the claim to bride? Because you want it. They bigger, oh yes. The Ford more than us, oh yes. Television broadcast this, that, other, absolutely right. They do all the same, absolutely. Our land may be small and tiny, but it's ours. I'll take this little land from Dan to Beersheba to the Mediterranean. This is what I want. I don't want the oil fields of Arabia. I want what God gave me in my land. Brother Delilah, we could compromise and quit preaching this, that, and other. My, we could enlarge our borders, but what would we have? A bunch of sand. I don't want sand. I want fruit. I want fruit. Hallelujah. Give me Dan. Give me Beersheba. Give me Hebron. Give me these places where God said I can dwell. It may be small in comparison, but my name is on the deed. So let spiritual Hamas try to dig tunnels. Go ahead, you rats, and we'll be waiting on the other side. Come on, you spiritual Hamas, dig your tunnels and try to undermine us. Amen. We're going to send our radar right down through. Why? Because we have got an intelligence corps in this army. This intelligence corps is the fivefold ministry. Amen. They're tapped into the intelligence of God. When we don't even know there's a tunnel working its way in the church, the Holy Ghost will call one of the special intelligence agents and he'll cry it out. Amen. Praise the Lord. No matter how many soldiers you've got, no matter how ready they are for war, they've got to know where to fight. They've got to know where to go. You've got to have an intelligence corps. And God has got an intelligence corps in this hour we're living in. They're tapped into the mind of Christ. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, as we close, what should we do with this man who caused all these hardships by his mistake? These babies that's been killed in Gaza. These teenagers that was captured by some of these Hamas soldiers and killed. Israelis. Buildings that are being blown up. Where did it all come from? One man and one woman. Who disobeyed God. And to me, that ain't near the picture of grace. If we'll go even farther back to a Garden of Eden. Of one man and one woman. And billions. Billions. Will live on this earth. And yet, you know what? God won't look at Adam and say, Adam, you get out of here. You go to hell. You don't deserve this. Man, you're talking about a creature of grace. When Adam walks down the streets of gold, Brother Darren, we shake his hand. You're talking about a trophy of God's grace. I mean, you and I have done some things in our life. We've done wrong. We've sinned. But ain't none of us ever done what Adam done. Ain't none of us ever brought on the human race what Adam brought. And yet he'll be there as a trophy of God's amazing grace. Amen. He will be there. Why? He was a part of God. He was a part of God and God could not deny him.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So what do you think? Should we start up a website against Abraham? And blame him for a bunch of stuff? I mean, you know what? We won't be surmising like a lot of the folks are doing on Brother Branham. Reading stuff into it that Brother Branham never said. And they're surmising. And well, he meant this and he meant that. And no, I mean, I've got proof here. This is absolute proof. This is historical proof. It is scriptural proof. Millions of people have suffered because of the mistake of this man. And I love him now more than ever. What about you? I'll tell you one thing. I'll never feel the same about him. Neither can I after this. I'll never feel the same about him. The mystery to me is that you could take all those facts of the Old Testament, process them, run them through the cross. come out on the other side and rewrite that life story and say, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong through faith. He did not consider the deadness of his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Praise God. May all my mistakes and all of yours, all of our shortcomings, may they come through that same process and come out on the other side. And we walk up before him that day, and you imagine there's a million standing. We won't be there for judgment, but for reward. I hope I get to see all y'all come up there. I'll be standing back there. Brother Man talked about the way he was in the dream. Oh, I know that brother. I know that brother. Oh, he's just rejoicing. And then they called his name. I hope I'm there when I get to see you deacons get your reward. And Brother Darrell, you brothers, you minister brothers, all you. I hope I'm there to get to see it. And seeing the Lord Jesus says, enter in. You were faithful. And yet you had so many failures. You got weak and you question sometimes. And he says, enter into the joys of the Lord. They were prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Praise be to God. You're talking about grace. And he'll reward you for the grace that he gave you and the faith he gave you to live his word. And he'll reward you as if though you did it. And he knew some of you sisters wouldn't be preachers. Well, none of you would be. But he knew y'all wouldn't be preachers. But he'll work it out where maybe some of you all felt led to write somebody a card. Or maybe I was really down one day and this burden come on your heart. Now you just, you're making taters and bacon and maters and whatever more. And this burden come on your heart and you just laid it aside and went in the bedroom and started praying for me. And you prayed an angel down right near where I was and he started ministering to me. And God wrote that down on your account. And then when we all stand before God and you stand there as a sister, Lord, I never preached. I never could sing very good. But there's things here on your account. There are, Lord. You was a godly mother. You was a good wife. Yes, here it is. At that one time, the Pastor Reagan there was down and so low. You didn't know it, but you had such pull with me. You prayed an angel down in that bedroom where he was. He got supercharged. He was at the place he didn't think he could go any farther. I did that. Enter in, my daughter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give me my little 8,000 acres. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I pray out of these simple thoughts, Lord, that something would have been said that would have spoken to their heart. Dear God, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, you'd help each of us. Our lot may be small. Our deeded property, as it were, may not be very big at all, as far as the world is concerned. But it's ours. Lord, we don't want no devils digging no tunnels trying to undermine us and take our inheritance. We're outnumbered politically. The whole world's against us, as far as your bride. But yet, Lord God, if Israel can stand, if they have to stand alone, I'm sure they will. And one day they will stand alone until you descend down and stand upon the Mount of Olives and you'll fight for them. Well, if you're going to fight for Israel, I can't keep from believing you're going to fight for your bride. I'm not sure when you'll come. I'm not sure all the particulars of how you'll do it, but I know you will. Help us, Lord. May we stand for our inheritance. We don't want to stand with hatred. We don't want to hate any race. We don't want to hate any nationality. We don't want to hate any people, as far as that goes. We want to hate sin. Help us to be able to stand for what is ours. And stand in the right attitude and the right frame of mind, Lord. Grant it, I pray, dear God. Forgive us our mistakes. Lord, if there's a person here tonight, man, woman, boy, or girl, that has outstanding debts, sins against you, may it be pulled through the cross tonight. Oh, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Though our sins were many, they can be washed as white as snow. May that which has been said about Abraham, our father, be said about us. Grant it, Lord God. In Jesus' name. How many has a personal need in your life tonight? Maybe your body, your home, your finances, whatever it is. I want you to just hold that request in your heart now. As the seed of Abraham, you have promises that are given to you. The spiritual Ishmaelites, Midianites, and Arabs, and so on, their territory may be much bigger than yours. Their ground much larger. It may look like they're doing much more. But you have promises that are to you. And He is true to His word. Just hold your request now in your heart. Now, Heavenly Father, I want to direct this prayer more personal, Lord Jesus, to the needs of your children. Dear God, some sick. Lord, this prayer cloth that I've preached with tonight, Father, you see this procedure that this brother is going to have tomorrow. I pray it would go well, Lord God. Others here tonight, Lord, with sickness, disease, needs in their home, maybe their finances. Lord God, I pray that you'd move for them. The enemy may be trying to undermine their health and dig a tunnel under their inheritance. But may the Holy Ghost hone in on that enemy tonight, Lord. Maybe the enemy's trying to undermine their finances. Maybe they've made some terrible choices in their finances. But Lord, we can see from Abraham, just because we make wrong decisions and do things wrong, it don't mean that you abandon us forever. Maybe some of them's in such a financial dilemma, there's no way for them to come out on their own. Then Lord God, I pray that you'd help them to turn that mess over into the hands of one who can straighten out big messes. Lord Jesus, maybe there's a dilemma in their home, on their job, whatever it is. Help them, I pray, Father, to commit it to you. Get it, Lord God. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We believe you tonight, Lord. We believe your word says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. And it will be done. We believe your word says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It is written again, if any two on earth agree as touching any one thing, it shall be done. It is written again, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. It's written again, I will make you the head and not the tail. I'll bless your coming in. I'll bless your going out. I'll bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the country. I'll bless your basket. I'll bless the fruit of your womb. Hallelujah! I'll bless your barn. I'll bless your increase. I'll bless your corn. This is your promise, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Drop that faith in our hearts tonight, Lord, to accept it, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. Hey. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship him now. Praise is the water that we put on the promise for God to bring it to pass in our life. So you pour water from your lips on the promise of your need. I know children, a lot of the television preachers and all that, they wear this stuff out and, you know, they make it almost a joke as far as the financial blessings and this and that and the other. But those promises are still true. And don't let them get all of that. And you say, well, I hate to even ask God for that. They were given to you first. They just kind of took them away from us. But you know what? Those promises are still real and they're still true. And God is still mindful of them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. pour a little water on it tonight now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing it, hey. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship Him now.
Thou art my God. I praise thee, O Lord. In the night time I will seek your face. In the morning I will seek you, Lord. You will sustain me, Lord. You will guide me. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 You said you'd never leave me, nor would you forsake me. Blessed be your holy name. How we praise thee, O God. How we praise thee, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, it has been good to be in your house, Lord. It has been good to sit at your table, to feel the stimulation of your revelation, Lord. To drink from thy cup, O God. Yea, Lord. How we praise thee, O God. Amen. You are my healer, Lord. You are my healer. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't he wonderful, friends? Isn't he wonderful? We have seen his glory. Amen. Oh, it's been so good to be home. Amen. It's good to see everyone again. It seems like we've been gone forever. Just got back in from Europe last night about midnight. Had some wonderful meetings. Meetings up in D.C., meetings over in Indiana, different places. And just good to be home. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. I tell you, I feel good. Father, I'm not a smart person, Lord. I don't have a lot of words in my vocabulary. But I'm so glad that you can look beyond my inabilities and see what my heart feels towards you tonight, Lord. And God, I realize, Lord, why we'll have to have a body change. For these old bodies can't worship you like you deserve to be worshipped, God. These old bodies can't praise you, Lord, like you deserve to be praised. To see, Lord, that you keep your promises. Your yeas are yeas and your nays are nays, Lord. How we thank you, Lord God, to be living in this hour, Lord, to see the manifestation of the sons of God. We thank you, Lord, for visiting us tonight, for touching our hearts, Lord. I've always believed that you squeeze a man's heart and the juice comes out his eyes, Lord. And I am so glad you squeezed my heart tonight, God. Oh, God, we pray, may you revive us. May you renew us, Lord, that we may fight again, Lord. Oh, God, may we stand shoulder to shoulder. Lay our differences aside, Lord. Move to the front yard. Stand on their battlefront, Lord. The hour is upon us, God. May we make our stand, Lord. Thank you for the word tonight, Lord, and for the privilege to serve you, God. I pray, Lord, that your children that need healing, that need financial blessings, Lord, need deliverance, God, whatever it would be, Lord, may they just lay that problem right there at their seat when they leave. May they go out rejoicing, Lord. because you're the God who can keep a promise. We thank you tonight, Lord. Go with your children now as we make our way homes. Oh God, may we be dismissed from this building, but never from your presence, Lord. We just love you tonight, God. We are so grateful that you are our God and that we are your children. I commit this congregation into your hands tonight for your glory. Lord, I just ask you tonight to be mindful, Brother Junior Davis, Lord. All those others, Lord, who have great needs among us. May thy perfect will be done, O God, we pray. For yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We just love you tonight, Lord. We just thank you for your blessings, Lord God. And for your inheritance, Lord. And for your predestination. And we thank you, O God, for your prophets. And for your pastors. And your teachers. And your evangelists and your apostles. We thank you, O God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Amen. Let's sing it again, Brother Harry, as we go. God bless you richly. You want to stay and worship? You're more than welcome.
Jehovah Jireh,
the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. Precious, precious Holy Ghost, sustain me.
cities and kingdoms, they're gonna all pass away. But Lord, there's something about that name. Sing it one more time. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. You're my master, you're my Savior. Demons tremble at the name Jesus. After the rain, Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. They're gonna all pass away, but there's something about that name. As we go, let's just sing this little song. How many times have I heard that line? They say, preacher, I've still got plenty of time. But what you gonna do if he comes tonight? What you gonna do? Will you rise to meet him in the air? Or be burdened down with this world's cares? What you gonna do when the church is gone? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when the church is gone? No more saints, no more songs to lift you up.